interview with Lou Kroc for Youngstown State University's Niles Firebrick Project by Marcel Wilson at 1517 Sunny Estates Drive at 6 o'clock on November 1st, 1994. What was your childhood like as you were growing up in Niles?
Oh, I guess we were poor, but I never knew it. We had a place to sleep and eat and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we had a lot of fun. You know, you had to make your own toys. They get a broomstick handle and you whittle it down and hit at the end of it, hit it with the stick, get out, you know, you catty nine tail, he called it.
Oh, okay.
And then we play kick the can and a few others I can't say on there. Yeah. So other than that, why, we played marbles when I was younger, and no one to play marbles with because I'd always win them out, you know.
I heard you were the champion at the...
Yeah, one time. You know, that's a funny thing. I was champion for 1 year, and then the next year I couldn't hit a marble.
Hmm. The way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, so it was... it was not like today, you know, your mother takes you, your father takes you, picks you up at school and all that. My mother and father never owned a car.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to go any place, they say, well, you know how to get there. You know what I mean?
You have to walk, huh?
So, the town was close. You can walk it in 10 minutes from where my mother lived. Well, I used to live across the street till I come up here.
Mm-hmm. What street was that on in Niles?
Emma.
Emma Street?
Yeah, 240.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like any other neighborhood. You know, your grapes at our house wasn't as good as the neighbor's grapes, so you went over at night and took a few, you know what I mean? It always tasted better on, but other than that, it was just, it was like any other kid, he'd knock a light out once in a while and fill up a bowl or something like that, but we never really did much damage. Not like today, kids are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, and when we was younger, all the brothers had to help Dad on Saturday when he's off. If someone wanted to drive or a walkway and, you know, going to the house or making steps to go up someplace out of concrete, why, we had to mix it by hand, all the brothers, Joe and all the boys except Eddie. He was too young. He wasn't even around yet at that time.
How many brothers did you have?
Well, there's six boys in the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only four of us left. And my brother John, he died, and then brother Dave, he died here about 4 years ago. And I lived in Niles all my life. Well, I lived in Warren for about a year and a half. I bought a home up there. If you want to call it a home, it was just about the size of a double garage or less. But, hey, it was a home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, why, then my brother Joe, he had a 1929 Chevy, and they had mechanical brakes, and every Saturday, my brother Dave and Joe, they would go to Cleveland and spend the night there and hoop it up, you know. Big Cleveland's a big town, you know. It still is, as far as that goes. But it wasn't like most kids, they could do things. Well, a lot of things I couldn't do because they had polio when I was a kid. And, but I did the best I could on that. And just like my brother Gay was, more than a scoutmaster, he was,
I forget what they called.
Well, he was an Eagles, Eagles scout. I was a tenderfoot, 12 years old, and I was supposed to walk from my place at Emma Street to Waddell Park. It was supposed to be a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't go maybe a block or two, and then I quit walking on, so my brother would cheat me a little bit. There you go. So that's how I got through going to Boy Scouts.
Uh-huh.
And what else you want to know?
Well, what was your neighborhood like when you were growing up?
It was great.
Were they all Hungarian around you?
No. All different languages. Like Russia Field. Russia Field, you know. Did you ever hear of Russia Field?
I've heard it mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you had the Hungarians and Italians and the Slovaks and the Polaks and the all different nationalities. And they all more or less went to that one spot.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Russia Field. And on our street, my mother built a house, and then one of her friends built a house, and then another one bought a house, and built a house, I should say. And there was quite a few Hungarians on our street one time, and on a few other little streets down the road there. We had a lot of fun though. We didn't have any money. We didn't know we were poor. And like I say, we made up our own games, and then we'd play the game. I don't know what they call it. You go hide and go seek or something, go find me or something. So what you did was you'd have like two or three boys or girls, whatever you want, play with, and you'd start out and you would draw an arrow which way you was going, on the sidewalk or telephone pole or on the house or whatever, and you're supposed to find them, you know. And sometimes you caught them and sometimes you didn't. That was one of the games we used to play. And we used to have another thing. We'd take two cans of water and have a string tied on there, each can, and we'd put it across the sidewalk. And then anybody comes along, we'd kick it and get wet. So I did that to my mother, and I didn't know my mother coming from church. I put it on there. What did I get for that? We found out who would get it, and it was me.
Did you get along with your neighbors?
Oh yeah, we had to. We're all poor. We didn't lock our doors, and we didn't have no furniture, no rugs on the floor till later on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then my older brothers, they would pick up the floor in the living room, and I was the guy that wanted the big troll up and play while they was dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Not every Saturday night, quite a bit, you know, a few times in the week, maybe like Wednesday and Saturday or whatever. Other than that, why, that was our big entertainment at that time, the trolling.
How'd you get it to keep going the same speed?
Well, you had a governor on it. And like if you wanted, at that time you only had one speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put it on, and you'd have to wind it, and then put your record on, and pull a lever, and put the head down on the Victrola,
mm-hmm.
on the record, the needle hit it, and I always wanted to play my records, and they would always say, "Oh, play that record, we can't dance on that record," but I'd sneak it in every now and then.
What kind of records did you listen to?
Oh, I can't remember the names. All I can, one was Red Red Robin.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. I can't remember the other ones.
Well, what kind of records did they like to listen to and dance to?
It was, you know.
Hungarian?
No, not Hungarian.
Just dancing music?
Yeah, just the regular records. But there wasn't too many. There was a lot of American people, you know, English, or whatever you want to call it. And they couldn't dance, say, Hungarian, China, and so forth, you know. I suppose they could. But then we later on, boy, it was a big thing to have a radio. Oh, there, a little radio about that big. It was something else. Listen to Guy Lombardo and what was his name? Rudy Valley and them guys, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Warren Twelf and a few of the others. Henry Bussey and a few other ones. And we'd listen to them on the radio. And then you had the Shadow Nose.
Uh-huh.
You know. And McGee and Molly and George Burns, and, you know, a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever bought the radio had the first chance to put on what, you know, what station we wanted. So I just listened to what, the only time I got to listen to it was on Saturday night, you know, everybody's leaving, you know. Then I put on what I want. I used to like Hawaiian music. Come from Hawaii, you know.
Uh-huh.
You could hear the ocean or whatever. Yeah, a lot of fun.
I know your brothers and your parents live with you. Did anyone else live with you in your house on Emma Street?
My mother did for a while. And then her father, my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
lived with me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other than that, why, nobody else.
Did your mom ever take in boarders?
Yes, she took in, sometimes she'd have maybe two boarders and three boarders. And I don't know how we did it. I guess we had to sleep on the floor. I don't know, I can't remember. Well, we had three bedrooms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, But I know when he set the table, there was quite a few mouths even, and all that. But the fellas that stayed at our house were reactive metals is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Up by Waddell Park there.
Okay.
And they worked there. And
mm-hmm.
they could walk to work. That's the reason why. And we needed the money.
Yeah.
Feed everybody. So that's, and then my dad used to play cards, and when he was smaller, we played a lot of cards, different games. I can't remember half the games we played, but I learned to play a lot of games, card games, from my older brothers.
Mm-hmm. Which brother are you, like, Joe's the oldest, right?
Yeah, sure.
Then you?
No.
Dave.
He's dead. And then Gay.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, he's dead. Then me and Eddie.
Oh, okay.
Six books. And I guess my mother had a girl at one time and a couple more boys. I guess they died along the way someplace when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's the oldest.
Okay, and you're the second youngest?
Yeah.
Eddie's the youngest.
I was the baby. I was a baby. I got baby.
Well, that's good.
Well, last one in the family, and all at once, kid brother, 12 years later, Eddie was born. I was 12 years old when he was born.
Oh, wow. What did your house look like on Emma Street, the house you grew up in?
Well, it was a three-story house with two floors, one floor, and the second floor was the bedrooms and then the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an ordinary house. And my dad used to have grapes in the back, like a lean-to, just
two befores and then let the grape vines grow all over it, make it shady too, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And my dad always had a garden. And no one was allowed to do anything in the garden with him. He was the boss. My mother wasn't the boss.
No?
She was our boss when no one else was around.
How did the first members of your family come to Niles?
How did they come?
Yeah, weren't they from Austria? Hungary?
No, my mother was around Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
In around that territory.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can remember. And my brother Gay, he's been over there a couple times. I wanted to go, but then the last time Gay was there, the soldiers with guns would come in and chase them off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And take their seats. They couldn't have to wait around and get another plane or something. So I said, I don't want that.
Mm-mm.
So I'd go to Hawaii or someplace, or Puerto Rico or Scotland or Wales or some other place. Then lately I've been just going to Florida every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun on that street though. No money, nobody had any money, but you didn't have to lock. Well, you couldn't steal anything because you didn't have nothing. You want to take the candle, go ahead, you know. But now, it's through your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kids today, they're not, people are going to change very much since I've been a kid anyway.
Where did you go to school?
I went to St. Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to McKinley High.
What were some of the fun things you did when you were in school?
Monkey around. Didn't learn nothing. I was too smart.
You knew it all, huh?
Yeah, 10th grade, and I went into 11th, and I said, this ain't for me. They didn't teach me nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to go out and get a job. Sure. You want to go get a job, like I say. Get back to Warren or someplace. If you don't know if you wanted to walk, you had to walk from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants a 16-year-old kid that doesn't know anything? So that was my schooling.
What was your first job?
First job, real job?
Mm-hmm.
Brickyard.
Brickyard?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I did other, work on the farm and things like that, helping pick apples and potatoes, pick them up and things like that. I worked for a farmer. For $1 a day, 10 hours a day, buck a day, and then he'd want $50 worth of work done. Yeah, at Brickyard is the first, and I went, while nobody is around, I work afternoon turn. I would go put the welding machine on, and try to weld. And I don't know if you ever tried to weld or not. But
no.
Well, you know what welding is.
Mm-hmm.
You put a rod in and then you strike an arc and it's supposed to move it. So I get it down there and I couldn't get it off. I just couldn't get it off. So I learned how to weld a little bit, but not too much there. So then after I got married, I lived on Emma Street. My brother Dave, he used to own the house there a couple of doors up. So I rented off him. And my neighbor in the same house, there was four apartments like, he said, why don't you come up to shop and weld? I said, I don't know how to weld. He says, well, don't tell the boss that. he says, I'll tell him that you're a tack welder. Well, a tack welder, all he done was like you put two pieces together, you just put a little weld on it here and there to keep it. And the welder, he'd do the rest on pipes, you know. And we were making blast furnace for Rio de Janeiro. And we'd make elbows and whatever. maybe about 10, 12 foot of the size of half of this room.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of places there would be gaps like this. Well, I don't know how to weld, so the guy with the spitter, he says, "Now, don't you tell the boss that you know how to weld. You're a tack welder." I said, "Okay." So he set the machine up for me and he showed me how to do it. I couldn't weld very good on it. So first day of work was 12 hours a day. By the time 12 hours over, I could start welding a little bit. And then I just went from there. And I went to the car shop, and I went to one place, another work, and then Allied Metal, and different places. And I worked Warren, I can't think of the name now. I worked there for the, we were making the stuff for the war, you know. I didn't work on the landing mats that they use. You've seen the landing mat that come in and they have a little, it's like a little boatman. The door fall down and they take the tank off. The women did most of that welding on that.
So
we was making the bigger stuff, big heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where was that at?
I'm trying to think. My wife could tell you here right away. Well, I have a book on it. I can't think of the name now.
Was that during World War II?
Yeah.
Second World War.
Yeah, it was, I think I started to work there in 43.
Mm-hmm.
And war, when the war ended, why they shut the whole place down. That was all government stuff. Yeah, we made a lot of things there, but I worked on mostly turbines and things like that, big heavy stuff. We'd have to make a well that deep. That's what a well is.
Mm-hmm.
Something that thick, and then we do one side, and we flop it over on the other side, and get the other side. And it was nothing to burn 110 pound of wire. And that's a lot of wire.
Yeah.
To burn.
Yeah.
And after that, I went and worked. I got a job at Republic Steel. I wanted to be a welder. I was welding anyway, but I wanted to get a job as a welder. And he says, "Well, we need cramer." I said, "Geez, I don't know how to run a crane." "Well, you just, that's the only job we got left over." I said, "Okay, I'll take it." So I took that job and I stayed with it. I quit and then I worked for Clycol for a while. And then I went to C&M Welding that was in Girard on Churchill Road there. And from there I didn't weld anymore. I went to Republic Steel from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I retired. I quit. In 50 I quit, then I went back 8 years later and went back on the crane. Yeah, that's about it, I guess. Unless you want something else to...
Yeah, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
What did you do when you worked for the Niles Firebrick Company?
At first I shoveled slack. It's called slack. And it's just like, almost like a dust and maybe little pieces of coal, they call that. And then that's the stuff you put in the holes around the keel.
Mm-hmm.
You had eight holes around the keel. You had the fireman would, when he first started out, he'd let it die down inside because he had to take the clinkers out first.
put the ashes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, then he'd go and throw coal in there. And he'd pack it in there and keep packing it in there, and then he'd block it with some water. And then after he'd done all 8 of them, I had to go around and get the ashes out of the pit.
Uh-huh.
And take it over in the ash pile, the wheelbarrow.
Uh-huh.
And then if he wasn't doing that, then he'd put us on emptying the railroad gondolas, you know, open cars, and
mm-hmm.
coal. Yeah, and then they opened up, they made a continuous kill for bricks. It's like an oven, and they
mm-hmm.
would continue on and put it in dry here, I mean wet here, and they come out done in
uh-huh.
many hours. And then I would, then they bought a three-wheel, I don't know what they call it, it was like a little dump. It's three-wheel, water wheel in the back to them, and they had flipped open. Well, I had to take that and fill it up and take it around the 8 holes.
Fill it up with ash or with coal?
No, with coal.
Okay.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to go take the big truck and load it up and dump it where I couldn't get in with the little Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have to, if I couldn't reach it, I'd have to take the wheelbarrow and fill that up and bring it to the 8 holes. Well, they kept it going.
Sounds like hard work.
Well, it was, I had a lot of
calluses
and a lot of blisters at first, and then they went into calluses.
What years did you work there?
I think I started either around 38, 39, somewhere around there.
How long did you work there till 43?
I worked there and then a couple of years or so because I just got married. I got married in October the 11th, 1941. So I moved in an apartment Christmas Day. So I must have started there in January, just down the end of the street with this. It was what they call now standard boilerplate.
Mm-hmm.
And, what was I supposed to say there?
Oh, how long did you work there? From 38 till?
About 38, 39, maybe 40, about 2.5-3 years.
How much did you make when you were working there?
When I first started, I was making 33 cents an hour. Then I got on this dump thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was making about 59 cents an hour. Big mm-hmm. deal.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Really increased your wage. How many of your family members completed high school?
Not very many. My brother did. I don't think Dave did. Gay and Johnny, not me and Eddie.
So three.
I didn't. I went to 10th mm-hmm. grade and I went into 11th and I said, that's enough.
Where did your family go to church?
Well, my family here.
No, your family growing up.
Oh, St. Stephen's.
St. Yeah. Stephen's?
Yeah. Nice.
Who were some of your ministers?
Oh, I can remember Father Gallagher and Father Roach. That's about the only two I can remember.
How long did your family attend that church?
Oh, it was since they moved into Niles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly when they moved in the Niles. It must have been maybe 1918 or somewhere around there.
When your parents came over here from Hungary, were they married or did they
yes.
meet? They were married?
Yeah, Joe was born over there and he was just a little baby when they came over on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Did they come over like to... Did they know there was work over here in Niles?
Well, my uncle and my brother, my dad's brother, got him a job.
Mm-hmm.
I guess over here. And
okay.
As far as I know. I don't know what he did or where he worked. Then later on, he did work at Falcon Steel.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a different company.
Didn't he work for the Firebrick? Your dad?
Yeah, he worked there.
What'd he do for the Firebrick?
Well, he was strictly, when I first got there, I used to take his lunch to work for him, you know, when he was working there for my dad. And they had this big buck about big as this table here,
mm-hmm.
that high. And this, that little crane come around on the track and put the empty down by the pile of this slack. They'd fill it up in another boat and then take it up, and then they'd fill this other bucket back and forth. So that was my dad's job, and then he had to clean out the ashes like I did,
uh-huh.
and wheel the slag around them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put them on a pan. What they did is, pan is a, it's like a big pan, and it has two big wheels about that tall,
mm-hmm.
about that wide and real heavy, and the pan would go around and the wheels would go around and make it just like powder. And it grind it down to powder. It had to be real fine clay.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that for fire brick, and we used to send it out, and so they make the brick with too.
Oh, okay.
And then they had the other pan, and they call it the silicon pan, where you put maybe silicon brick.
I have another tape in my bag. What did they used to use the fire brick for, the bricks for?
Well, they use it for fireplaces, anything that, like in a steel mill where they had the big ladles, they would line the brick up in the ladle, that keeps it from melting the steel away,
mm-hmm.
you know, it'd be steel. Mm-hmm. And then they would, they use it all the time in just about anything for heat,
mm-hmm.
like a furnace,
uh-huh.
or fireplaces, and, anything like that.
Okay. Did the Niles Fire Brick Company employ a lot of people?
Quite a few. I'd say maybe, 90 people or something, mm-hmm. maybe 100 people. I don't know about the office people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this, and the other two bosses and so forth. That's about 90, I'd say. We had, at that time when I was first got to work there, you had to come out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the boss would say, you go to work. The rest of you guys come back at 4 o'clock or whatever time. You know.
Oh wow, yeah.
And he'd go, whoop, get you out. Oh, the rest of you come out at midnight, you know. So what they done is, they had the guys that worked for the company, they had the company houses and they had the company store.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to give preference, make them guys work for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and a few other guys would have to take the leftovers.
What were some of the company houses like? Did you ever see them?
Yeah, I've been in a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy, it's just like almost like a barn. It's got a living room and kitchen, and maybe had a pump water, you know, I don't know. I can't remember.
What color were they?
Mostly gray.
Gray?
Yeah, most of them were gray. Mm-hmm. Yeah, light gray, but real dark.
Hmm. What jobs did some of your brothers and sisters, or your brothers, have when they were growing up? You and your brothers.
Eddie worked at Mullins Manufacturing, made kitchen cupboards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cupboards and stuff. That's where Eddie started to work, I think. Then later on he worked for AMP,
mm-hmm.
stock board or something. Then, I don't know, he didn't. something else, and then he went to service and come back, and then he become a printer.
Uh-huh.
And then Brother Johnny, he started out being an usher in the theater in spare time at the evenings, you know. Then he done a lot of sign painting. He's a freehand guy. He was really great with his hands, you know, paint,
mm-hmm.
things like that. What he did after that, he left here, went to Buffalo, and he managed a woman's store, you know, all dresses and whatever,
mm-hmm.
what women wear.
Yeah.
And he stayed with that for a long time. And then he was a draftsman too. He was good at that. He made these blueprints and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. And he designed for a milk factory, dairy, where they purified it. I forget what they call it. Where they purified the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
pasteurized?
Yeah, they pasteurized.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I don't know, he went to different jobs, but I can't remember what he did. And Gay, he was an usher. Then he worked for Republic Steel, pushing a broom. That's one of the jobs, the dirty job. And then I think he went into printing. He worked for the company where they print different things for the company, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the men and so forth, time cards or whatever.
Yeah.
And all the material they needed for shipping. Then after that, he went to service. He come back. And he worked for somebody up in Warren, some kind of shop, and he said, I can't make no money with these guys. So he went into business for himself.
Oh, okay.
And then he retired. And Dave, I don't know what he did when he was young, he was about 17, 18, I suppose. He went to New Jersey to live with Aunt Elizabeth. She had a big poultry farm, and he worked at that. Then he worked at like a motel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he did there. God knows what he did. But anyway, then he come back, and then he went to service, and come back. And I think he was working at the Youngstown Steel Car, and then after service he went back there, and that's where he retired from. And then he got the job being the superintendent of the parts.
Okay.
Dave, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, he must have been about 15 years old. He worked at Falcon Mill. My dad got him a job there, and he got hurt. I don't know what happened. He got hurt. So then he went. I think he went to Republic Steel, and that's where he retired at.
Mm-hmm.
Been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it on that.
What kind of refrigeration did your family use when you were young?
We didn't. We
nothing?
Didn't have to because there's nothing left. We didn't have no refrigerator.
No? How about an ice box?
Ice box, we didn't have an ice box either. My brother, when he worked at Republic Gay, he got a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Well, first we got a Maytag washing machine because
hand washing.
And then mother would.
What was a typical family meal like for you as you were growing up?
Oh, mostly soup, wasn't it, honey? That's about it. The meat swam to it real quick, I guess. Or chicken, you know.
Uh-huh.
Other than that one, there's a lot of soup. Like on Saturday, all we had for supper was potatoes, baked potatoes. Throw a bushel in there and let it go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing, but we had a lot of soup.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of vegetables out of your garden?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. My dad always had good stuff.
Did you eat a lot of Hungarian meals, Hungarian dishes?
That's all we ate.
That's it?
I didn't know what else. Just like somebody said, well, we had strawberry shortcake, you know, or upside-down cake. I said, what are you talking about? You take the cake and turn it upside down and eat it.
Your dad and spaghetti.
Oh, my brother Johnny had the woman's store up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he worked for Abraham. I don't know what the Syrian or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So he invited all of us to go up and eat dinner with his boss. So we go up there. My dad, he was said like this, 12 o'clock we eat, not 5 after, or 5 minutes till, 12 o'clock, or whatever it was. You know.
Uh-huh.
So we went up, we're all hungry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? Pretty soon, here comes a great big kettle, of, I don't know, we look. All of us looked at each other. What is that? Spaghetti.
Oh.
We never had spaghetti. We never seen spaghetti. We didn't know how to eat it. So we ate it. But from that time on, my mother made spaghetti.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the family went into it.
You really liked it, huh?
I didn't particularly like it that well. We had some just, what, yesterday? I mean, that's all right. We had a lot of Hungarian stuff, though. Kuchen, you know what kuchen is?
Uh-uh.
It's what do you call it? Knuckles of pigs.
Oh, okay.
What do they call that?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Pig's feet.
Oh, okay.
And it looked like jello. Yeah, you know. That's what I used to think. I used to go down, we had a cool cellar, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And kept the things down there. So my dad always killed a pig himself and then take everything. And only thing we didn't use is a squeal. We used everything on the pig.
Uh-huh.
Didn't throw nothing away. Some mother put, they call kuchen. And boy, that jello looks pretty good. Take the spoon. That was it. No more of that stuff. But everybody else, like these people come over to the house, they like, not me, I didn't like it. And I tell you, if you didn't eat was on the table, there were no seconds. There was no going in and you'd starve. I mean, you didn't get nothing to eat. That's the way we was brought up. And you eat now, not later.
Uh-huh. Was everybody present when you ate a meal?
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doggone sure, it was 4 o'clock or 4:30. If you didn't, boy, you just slept out. So what I used to do is, my mother baked the bread herself, you know, and I take a big hunk about like that and then throw it in the sugar can and the sugar all eat that. That's our meal, funny. My meal.
Did anyone in your family belong to a local social club like the Elks or the Eagles or a Hungarian club?
I think my dad, but I can't tell you what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I imagine he had a Hungarian club of some kind.
You didn't belong to anything like that?
No.
No?
No, I was too busy trying to make money.
What did your family do to celebrate a birthday? Do you remember any special birthdays as you were growing up?
Well, my birthday is December 29th, so I got kind of cheated.
Yeah?
No, my brothers always made sure that we'd buy things, toys and stuff like mm-hmm. that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my first scooter I had. And I left behind Joe's 1929 Chevy. He didn't know it was there and backed over and bent it all in. That was the end of my brand new scooter.
Aww.
I didn't get to use it very much, I'll tell you.
Did your family do anything special for holidays like Christmas?
Yeah, we'd put up a tree, then we'd have candles. He had a clip and put it on there and a candle holder was in there and we used that. And then, you know, out of popcorn and apples, we'd have and put uh-huh. apples on it or something like that.
Did you light the candles on your tree?
Oh, yes.
Never caught the tree on fire?
Well, we're lucky.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. Well, we're very lucky.
What kind of gifts did you get?
What kind of what?
Gifts did you get for Christmas?
Gifts.
Was it mainly clothes or toys, store-bought?
Oh, once in a while I get some clothes. But I didn't want clothes. I wanted toys. So I didn't get very many toys, but I did get some wind-up toys.
Mm-hmm.
Tractors or learning to climb up and fall down and throw over whatever it did.
Uh-huh.
And for Christmas one year, I made Eddie. Eddie got his first train. Joe bought him his first train, so he didn't have no house or nothing, you know. So I made, I took a can, and I made a, it was supposed to be a water tower, and then he was stepped to it, and everything. And I painted it. And then I made a manger. Oh, I don't like that. Not that high, slanted roof. And I made little strips like that for siding on there and put around it. I had that for a long, long time. I think we finally threw it away this last year. I should have kept it. But that's about it. That was our starting, fixing the train up, you know.
Uh-huh. What kind of transportation did you use besides walking? Did you ever take the bus or the train, trolley?
Well, my mother used to take me to Youngstown. She used to carry me on her back, and we had a trolley car go from Niles to Youngstown into Warm Two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it went up to the Miller Ridge a little ways.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was our, we didn't have no car.
Mm-hmm.
And all we had was the trolley car. That was it.
Do you remember how much it cost to ride on the trolley?
No.
What happened when a family member or relative died?
Well, not in our family. No one died in our family, but the Hungarians always had the casket put in the living room
mm-hmm.
and have it there.
Mm-hmm.
Put some candles around and some flowers and they come around.
No funeral homes?
No.
Did they have them back then or?
Yeah, they had them back then. You can't afford it. Well, like to eat. Well, we never had any deaths in our house, mm-hmm. Until Brother Johnny died.
Mm-hmm.
My dad died first, right? Yeah, my dad was the first one, and Johnny, I think, and then Dave, then my dad, or my mother.
Mm-hmm. What did things cost as you were growing up?
Well, I could get gasoline, some places was 8, 9, 10 cents a gallon. And I used to get some free ones sometimes to get a hose and stick it in some of these tanks.
You siphon gasoline.
Well, I just didn't have any money. I was going with her and I said, give me a dime so I can get a gallon of gas.
Jeez.
Hey, you were, hey, a buck. How far couldn't you go with a buck? I worked 10 hours.
Yeah, that's true. How about a cup of coffee? How much did that cost?
I couldn't tell you. My mother used to, chicory? She used so much chicory with it. And she'd buy the beans and then we ground our own.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell you. I suppose maybe 3 pound cost. Maybe 10 cents a pound or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How about bread? Do you remember what bread cost?
Bread we used to buy for 5 cents a loaf, unsliced. They didn't slice it. Then later on they did. And then you could buy bread or maybe a little cheaper, maybe a penny cheaper if you went to the bakery if they had some leftover bread from the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get maybe a penny cheaper. And skim milk, you go down there, they would take the skim milk and throw it down the drain, you know, just so my mother would say, take this gallon and go down there and give me a nickel and just fill that up for a nickel.
Oh, wow.
And so I knew the guy pretty good after going down there for so long. And I'd say, I lost the nickel. In my pocket. He gave me a free one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I get a nickel once on it. Hey, that was like a dollar.
How much did candy cost back then?
Well, penny, you could get maybe 5-6 pieces.
Wow.
Which cost you about 5-10 cents a piece today, or maybe a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were the 30s like for your family? Do you remember?
The 30s. That was started the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
My dad worked on WPA, I know that. And we did odd jobs. And then we went out to the Green. And they had like muck farms, they call them muck farms, where you would find good dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd raise carrots and beans or whatever, all that stuff. So we had, I think, 3.5 acres of onions, that's all we had, and the crop sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We did the work, and then in the season they would split up, you'd get 10 bags and you'd get 2 bags or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know. So we ate a lot of, I tell you, we ate a lot of onions. A lot of onions. And I think we sold like a 20 pound bag for a quarter or something like that. That was a lot of money back then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we had to weed that. No sooner you started here, you had to go back and start weeding again, you know. So then every now and then, the farmer next door, he'd have maybe 5 or 6 acres of onions. So we go over there and pay my dad for all of us, maybe a buck all day for 5 of us.
Oh, wow.
So didn't make very much money. My dad made enough money to pay the interest on the house, so we wouldn't lose it. That,
mm-hmm.
Back then, that's why I remember that. And we'd come back to the house every weekend and check the house over. And the fellow that we stayed there, he had a little farm and house there. And the house that we was in, they used to fill it up with seeds. Oats, clear up the windows, second floor and all. Everything just shoot it in there. So we just clean it all up, and that's the he stayed in there.
How long did you stay there?
I think 2 seasons. Like mm-hmm. 1 year and then the next year.
Mm-hmm. Did you have indoor plumbing there?
Outside, pump water outside. No hot water.
Oh.
Wash your face. Cold. And like come back to the house, and now on the other street, we'd we'd light up the tank and get enough hot water and maybe wash your feet or something like that. That's about it. Couldn't afford to run it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know one guy took a bath, the other guy jumped in, the other guy jumped in, and then he used the same water. You gonna do it?
Yeah. Did you have indoor plumbing on Emma Street?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say that.
Did your family participate in any local politics or unions? No?
Oh, I belong to union, yes. That's mm-hmm. I belong, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether Eddie belongs or my brother, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I think my brother Dave, too, they had a union, Youngstown Steel Car, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened when, like, you or your brothers would get sick when you were young? Did you go to the doctor?
They come to the house.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had my tonsils taken out on the dining room table.
Oh, my God.
On Emma Street, yeah.
You remember it?
Oh, yeah. I remember... Doctor, come over. His name was Dr. Buck. Come on, son. Get up on the table here. Lay up there. Let's take a look. See if you can jump up here. You know, hey, this was fun for me, you know. And I didn't know I was going to have a tonsil out.
Uh-huh.
So I lay down, you know. Okay. I remember him putting the mask on, and that's it. And they told me that if I laid down and I woke up, I could get to my screen. I said, oh, sure, I'll lay down. And that's how I got my tonsils out.
Oh, wow.
And my brother Johnny, they took his appendix out. They brought him home, and they busted open. So Dr. Buck come over and re-sewed him right at the house on Emma Street. And then my brother had diphtheria, and then the other one caught it, and I had to go next door to my second mother, I say, Mrs. Tompkins, and I stayed there for a whole month.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't supposed to go in the house or anything, so my mother would make toddy and stick it out the door so I could drink it. Then every once in a while, and after a while, I would sneak in. I wasn't supposed to go in, but I did anyway.
Did your parents use a lot of home remedies?
Yes, there was a lot of this and that and the other. Yeah, there was. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like goose lard, good for cold or cough. And mother would boil beet juice. That was good for coughs. And there were some other. I can't understand. There's some things that. Like when I was 12. I had this spell, I couldn't walk, and so somebody come up with the idea. They had a galvanized can about that big around, and they put boiling hot water in it, and made a platform, a little platform, and they get common and throw in there and cover my legs up and have the steam and everything.
Oh, wow.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Is that when you had polio?
Yeah.
Is that the only treatment you got?
Well, I had another treatment where they had a glass tube come out and had like a little knob on the end. You could see the electric going through there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an iron bed I slept on. And I grabbed the iron bed, and it just shocked me. About, hey, this is it, you know. I never did that again.
Mm-mm.
But I don't know, going to Youngstown, I don't know what they did. I think they used that light on me.
Mm-hmm. And that's helped?
I guess. Well, one leg shorter, not as strong. It's like a peg leg, more or less. I can't stand on one leg. I just fall over like taking a pencil or like this here. If I stood on here, I go.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it all depends. But I did the best I could.
Did a lot of people get polio back then?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. They didn't call it polio. They call it infantile paralysis.
Oh, okay.
That's what they called it. Then it went to polio later on.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else I should talk to about working in the fire brick or growing up in Niles? You don't know of anybody else?
Oh, yeah, I know Joe Ciroli. He used to live right next door to me.
How do you spell his last name?
How do you spell Ciroli?
C-E-R-O-L-I.
And he lives in Niles? Still?
You know where the school is up on Ridge, it's that Ridge Road, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know where the Nazarene Church is up there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go past, but there's a school. Now they have it was regular school for kids.
Business college,
I think. Well, almost across the street, it's a little house.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he lives.
On Ridge Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're going down toward 422, it'd be on the right.
It'd probably be in the phone book.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Joe. There's another guy. His name is Holbrook. Now, he worked down there. And where Park Avenue is in Niles?
Mm-hmm.
You come to dead end as you're going up toward the hill. Up Robbins Avenue, but this is on the Park Avenue goes to dead end. That's Grant Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get, there's a bird joint on the right hand side. Well, you see a fence. There's a corner house. It's not on the corner, but you see a fence, wood and stuff back there. And he's got dogs back there. Well, that's the Holbrooks, and they're kind of tough old boys.
Is his name Sterling?
I don't know whether his name is Sterling or there was more than one Holbrook.
Okay, because that's one of the names I got from another lady I interviewed.
Oh.